Good evening. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Good to see you all here tonight. Am I on? Yeah? Test one, two. We good? Okay. So happy Thanksgiving. Yes. Welcome to our Thanksgiving Eve service. What a special night to come and gather as a congregation, just to pause here together in the presence of the Lord to give thanks to God. So I do have a few announcements to go over before we go on. First of all, regarding our offering this evening is for the Moore Committee. So for those maybe that aren't familiar with that, that is the Menno Olivet Resources for the Elderly. They do a lot more work in the community than it's for all ages. And there's a reading in the insert there about some things that they have done throughout the past year. So as far as the offering, though, the checks would just be made to the church as usual, and then we'll give one check to the Moore Committee. I want to say thanks to Melanie Wilcoxon and Jennifer Masterson for serving as our representatives from our church on this committee. Afterwards, the Christian Education Committee and others, if you want to help, we'll be putting up the Christmas tree and hanging the greens because Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. So if you love doing that, then you can help us. We always appreciate that. December, we have Meals on Wheels, our church. There's some, I think about 7 or 8 empty dates yet on the calendar. So if you can help with that, take a look. Also, being Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, that means Christmas program practices begin this Sunday. So please remember that. The rest of the announcements I'll let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come with thankful hearts. And we give thanks to you for your goodness and your greatness, and your power. Father, for your incredible plan of redemption that you had in place even before the foundations of the world. You even had planned your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain. Thank you for that most of all. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful presence in our lives by the Spirit of the living God, that we can gather freely here in this sanctuary, as I'm sure multitudes are across this nation tonight and tomorrow, giving thanks to you for your goodness. Yes, Lord, we do need help in many, many ways in this nation, but we also say thank you for the blessings and the freedoms that we enjoy across this land. Thank you for the work of your Spirit that is always happening when we don't even see it, when we don't even realize it, you are working. And so we are here to praise you, to offer our lives as a living sacrifice before your throne, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we sing our first hymn, we'll have a responsive praise reading from 1 Chronicles 29. So this will come on the screen there, the leader I'll read, and you respond where it has the letter C. Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all.
All gracious and honor come from you, and you reign over all.
In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. But who are we that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Amen. Amen. And let's stand. We'll sing our opening hymn. In our hymnal number 18, you only have the chorus. Our other previous hymnals had the verses, and they will be on the screen. So it is. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's stand, please. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Oh, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We have been in heavenly places, felt blessings from above. We've been sharing all the good things the family can afford. Let's just turn our praise toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Just the precious name of Jesus is worthy of our praise. Let us bow our knees before Him, our hands to heaven raise. With He comes in clouds of glory, with Him to ever reign. Let's just lift our happy voices and praise His name. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Amen. That's why we are here tonight. Take a moment before you're seated and greet those around you. Please tell them a happy Thanksgiving. Amen. Well, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. I just have a couple things written down. First, this afternoon we had the funeral service for Lorene Schultz, which is Geraldine's sister-in-law. And so it was a blessed time there. Prayers for the family. Also, Elton Herbolt, he had surgery on Monday, came home Tuesday. Is recovering, still sounds like having a lot of discomfort and pain from it, so just continue to lift him up in your prayers. I had a text from Pat Palmerville's sister this afternoon. She's on oxygen now for this week, the way it sounds. We're going to do another test on Friday. They might have to put a drain tube in the lung area that keeps filling up with fluid, so be praying for her. Our nephew, Aaron, who, as I told you Sunday, was in that motorcycle accident, he is still unresponsive, although he is able to answer a few requests, like to wiggle his toes, or he's given a thumbs up. One day he tried to sit up, but as far as opening his eyes or anything, that hasn't happened yet. They did do some type of surgery today, possibly. We're not for sure on that. So he's in the hospital in Tempe, Arizona. This is Ann's oldest sister's youngest son. He'd be Rachel's age. So anything else here on this side? Jeff. Amen. It's good to see you back. Jeff had knee replacement recently, and he's saying thank you for all your prayers and phone calls and cards and visits. He's doing well. Over here. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these things. Thank you for those recovering from surgeries, Jeff with his knee and Linda with hers and Renee, three knee replacements and other surgeries. We lift up Elton Herbold especially as he's just coming out of a surgery on Monday. We just thank you for your healing power working mightily in his physical body. We pray for Lee and Pat Palmerville, especially Pat right now, as she's just been in a tough place here with the fluid filling her lungs. We pray for healing there. We pray that they could, for wisdom to the doctors to come at it maybe with a different approach. But most of all, Father, we look to you as our great physician. We thank you for our nephew Aaron Call there in Arizona. We thank you, Lord, for healing to his head, his brain, where the injuries were so severe that the swelling, we pray, is coming down. And we just thank you that you are holding him in your everlasting arms. Be with each of these, Lord, we pray. Thank you again for our nation. Lord, for the blessings of where we live. Father, I think we would all agree that this is the best place to be in the country, and we are thankful that you have placed us here. Thank you for this season of planting and growth and harvest that, for the most part, has been brought in. Thank you, Lord, for all the various jobs that are throughout the congregation, that you give us strength to do what you've called us to do. Lord, for the troops, our troops that serve our nation so faithfully, we continue to lift them before your throne, especially those that are not able to come home on these very important times of Thanksgiving and maybe even Christmas. Be with their families, Lord. Watch over them. Watch over our soldiers, we pray. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm chapter 40, verse 5, this is from the New Living Translation. It says, O Lord my God, you have done many miracles for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. And so they are. So I've told you about the offering already. Most of you know that there's an offering box in the back. That's how we're doing it. We're going to sing a different version of the doxology this evening. It's on page 166, if you want to stand. You'll know the melody, but and the words, of course, will be on the screen. Let's stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise the God of the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia. So we do praise you, Father, our source, our provider. Your blessings are so incredible. We sing that chorus, Lord, sometimes 10,000 reasons. And that isn't even enough that we have to praise you for. But Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this time that we sow into the work of the Moore Committee. And those that they minister to in the surrounding area, the work they do through the food pantry in Freeman, the many families that are blessed with a Thanksgiving meal right now, those that will be blessed with the Christmas dinner coming up, those that need help driving to medical appointments, and on the list could go. We give to bless others this evening, and we thank you for those that serve as representatives from each of the churches. Guide them, bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Oh my. I don't think I can do that. Laura. No, wait. I don't want them to see it. Hello. Any more out there? Are you sure? Okay. You guys scooching. So what is tomorrow? Thanksgiving. Yes, it's a wonderful day that we celebrate. So what are you thankful for? Everything. Family, God, Jesus.
Broken trail.
What?
Remote control.
Say it again. Remote control. Remote control. Is that what you said? Oh man, I thought milking something. No. Okay. Roof over our heads. Food and drinks. Yeah. Bo.
Drinks.
We need to have those, don't we?
Plants.
Plants. Good. Anything else? How about friends? What? Football? Okay, good. That's a good thing. You make a lot of people happy. So many things. And that reminds me, Pastor Mike and I have something to give you because we're thankful for you. There you go. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. I told you guys. Well, that was pretty awesome. You know what? Almost everybody said thank you, and that is such a wonderful thing. When somebody gives you something, what do we say? Thank you. And it makes that other person feel really good when you do that. Do you know what? We have a Bible story in chapter Luke, verse 17. Now listen to this. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going to a village, and all of a sudden, 10 men who had leprosy. Now, do you remember, you older ones, what leprosy is? It's that skin disease that there's no cure for. And if you had that back there in the Bible days, you had to leave your family, leave your town, and live somewhere else because it was very, very contagious. And this would just continue to eat away your skin. So these 10 lepers met Jesus, and they stood at a distance because you can't get close to people either. And they said in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So these 10 people, men with leprosy, saw Jesus coming. They had heard about him and all of the wonderful healings that he did for people. And they said that. And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Because, see, when you had leprosy or when you had anything and you got healed, then you had to go show yourself to the priest so they would see you are healed. So as they went, they all listened. They all obeyed. They all went. And guess what happened as they were walking to where the priest was? They got healed. All 10 of them got healed. And they were as they went, they were healed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, they looked and they're like, "Oh my gosh, we're healed, we're healed." He came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, weren't all of the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has just this one returned to praise God? And he told him, "Go, your faith has made you well." So Jesus, they all had problems. Jesus healed them all. And how many came back to say thank you? Only one. Boys and girls, we got to remember to say thank you. And especially say thank you to God for everything, as you have all named, everything we can be thankful for. Now, is everything going to always go well for us? No, it's not. You got to understand that. Things will not always go our way. Prayers always aren't answered, but they are heard always. Bad things will happen because we live in this world that we live in. But God never leaves you or me. And he will get us through whatever hard thing we may be going through. But no matter what, even if it is a hard thing, we should still thank God. Thank God because he made us. We can thank God because he sent who to die for us? Jesus. And we don't have to pay for our sins. And that's a wonderful thing. And one day we will live in heaven. So remember, always give thanks. Okay? All right, let's pray. Fold your hands. Close your eyes. Father, we thank you so much. All the blessings, all the wonderful things you've given us. And Lord, we thank you so much for sending Jesus for us. He is our Savior. And without him, we would not be able to spend eternity with you. And we thank you. Help us all to remember to always be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some papers you can get.
Thank you, Ann. We have a special music tonight. Jennifer Schultz is going to sing a version of Great is Thy Faithfulness from beginning to end.
Beginning to end, my life in your faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Jennifer Schultz, for singing and Herbold for playing. That was beautiful, very beautiful. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the faithful one. You have declared it in your word many times over. You have demonstrated it over and over again throughout the scriptures, throughout our lifetimes. You are faithful, you are trustworthy, you are reliable, you are true to your word because your word is absolute truth. And so we thank you. Lord, that's how we yield our lives to you. We place our lives in your hands. From our first breath to our final, from our first cry to our final breath, you are the one who commands our destiny. So thank you. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight, a familiar passage that we look through and that you encourage us from. I ask, Lord, that you'd speak through me by the power of your Spirit to those gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read Psalm 103, the whole chapter. There's 22 verses. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version tonight, and the words are on the screen as well. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. A beautiful psalm for a beautiful night that we call Thanksgiving Eve. I love it when we have these night services where we can come together as a body of believers just to pause in the busyness of life, from the busyness of life, to pause in His presence, to take time to focus on Him and to praise His name. The song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, which we love so much. But I like that bridge, I'll call it that, in there, as it says, beginning to end, my life in your hands. Great, great is your faithfulness. You never let go. This one thing I know. Great, great is your faithfulness. And so it is. And so this psalm, we're going to focus on more the first verses of it. Again, the first two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not. How many times do we have to be reminded? A lot, right? With our children, we remind them to do things, whether it's their chores, we remind them over and over again, don't we? Even when they get into middle school, even when they get into high school. Did you clean your room? Did you take out the trash? Did you feed the dogs? Did you feed the chickens or whatever you all might have? Oh, I forgot. Well, do it. I will. Hour later or two. Did you clean your room? Oh, I forgot. You better do it. One wonderful thing about the cell phones when those came into being as our daughter was coming into that age was, give me the phone. Can have it back when the room is clean or the chore is done. Dad, give me the phone. Well, that room got clean pretty quick. I guess parents of young ones, if you haven't learned that trick yet, it works, at least for most kids. It works. But what about us as adults? We have to be reminded of things all the time too, right? We forget just the same. And there's many times throughout Scripture, I think of Peter, especially in the two letters from Peter, he said, I'm reminding of you of these things again. And we have to be reminded. And so he says, the psalmist David, he's really having this dialogue with himself and the Lord. Soul, that's his mind, his emotions. Bless the Lord, praise the Lord. All my inmost being, praise the Lord. That's the inner part, his spirit being. He's having to tell himself to do that. He's having to remind himself to do that, and we need to be reminded to do that just the same. We all have days, like Ann was talking with the kids, when times are tough, and maybe it's not so easy to praise the Lord, but those are the very exact times, all the more we have to praise the Lord, not just in the good times. So here's this list. If you have trouble praising the Lord, then take this list. And there are five very important things to praise Him for. Number one, forget not all His benefits. That's number one. Forget not all His benefits. And the first one of the list then is, who forgives all your iniquities. Iniquities, I think as adults, we know that is another word for our sin. The young ones, confirmation age, first of all, it's getting them to iniquities or increase or in whatever. No, iniquities. Everybody say it. Iniquities. Yeah, thank you. I'm good. You're on it. I was talking more. That's what I do with the kids. Say it. Iniquities. What does it mean? I don't know. Sin. It's another word for sin. It's a big word, right? For our sins. He forgives us all our iniquities. Now, if that wasn't enough of the list, that alone to bless the Lord and praise the Lord for, I mean, that's pretty incredible that all of our sins can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. We confess our sins to Him. We know that. That's what was required and expected of us. But so let me ask you this. to think about. Do we actually take time, though, to thank God for the blood of Jesus, to thank God for the cross and all that happened there? Or do we just, Father, this is what I did today. These were the sins that I know anyway that I did today. And I ask you to forgive me for it. Thank you. And on my way I go. No, we need to take time to praise him for that our sins are forgiven and for the incredible price that took. Verse 10, I actually like that phrase, New King James, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. The NIV, which I really like that, it says he, God, does not treat us as our sins deserve. What do our sins deserve? Punishment in hell, right? That's what our sins deserve. But he does not treat us as our sins deserve. I can't really go over this verse without thinking of Willard Zabe, and I probably say this not whenever I mention this. At the open door, you know, we all know we'd have the Sunday buffet and he'd be serving behind the line. At least for me, I'd say, how are you doing today, Willard? Better than I deserve. Always his answer. Better than I deserve. And I'd say right back, that's what Psalm 103 verse 10 says. God has not treated us as our sins deserve. And so that's something we thank him for. We pause, as I said in the starting, this is a night to pause in his presence. So let's just pause here for a moment or two and thank him for this. I'll lead in a prayer, okay? Father, we do pause before you and we praise you for this benefit of living in Christ, that through the blood of Jesus, our sins can be forgiven, washed away, as your word says, as far as the east is from the west. Lord, let us ever be mindful of that, because we know that your arch enemy, the devil, is called the accuser of the brethren, and he certainly does well at trying to bring past sins into our minds, telling us we're not worthy, and we know in ourselves we're not, Lord, but in you, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. So thank you for the price that you paid and what you did at the cross to forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Letter B, second one, who heals all your diseases. Wow. The biggest disease that we all are born with is sin. Ties into the first one. Beyond that, there is physical healing, there is emotional healing, spiritual healing that we all need. And if we look way back in the Old Testament, the covenant that God had with his people Israel, healing, physical healing was always a part of that. We can, all the way back, I'm going to just mention an example when the children of Israel were in the wilderness for those 40 years. And in their rebellion, they ran into trouble how many times? Sometimes a plague would come. One time the scorpions, the venomous snakes came and were biting the people. They were dying. But God always provided healing. And in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, he reveals himself and he says to them, "For I am the Lord who heals you." And in Hebrew, that's Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord your healer. How about in the New Testament? Jesus all the time is healing the multitudes. One example in Matthew 15 was this Gentile woman. She's known as the Syrophoenician woman. And she comes to Jesus, this is in Matthew 15, on behalf of her daughter who is severely demon-possessed. And she cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The next verse it says, "And Jesus answered her not a word." In other words, he just sort of ignored her is the picture. And the disciples, they come to him, they're there, and they say, "Lord, would you send her away? She keeps crying out afterwards, after us." In other words, She's being a pain. She's causing a scene. Just tell her to go away. Verse 24, he answered, Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. What's he saying? He's talking about covenant. He has a covenant with the people of Israel, and in that covenant involves healing. This is a Gentile woman coming for healing. He's saying, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That might seem harsh in a way. What else? So does the woman give up? She's not giving up. Verse 25, it says she came and knelt before him and says, Lord, help me. She knows he has the answer for her daughter, and she's going to do whatever. She is not quitting. Jesus replies, it is not right to take the children's bread. Children's bread are the people of Israel, okay, in covenant, supposed to be in covenant with God as their father. Children's bread, what's the woman wanting? Healing for her daughter. That, in this case, is the children's bread. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. That's what he says to her. That's how, now, Jesus did not feel this way because he was God himself in the flesh. But the Jewish people, that's how they looked at the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, as dogs. So he's proven a point here in all this. Obviously, he knows what he's doing. So what he says, it's not right to take the children's bread, healing, and throw it to the dogs. She's not quitting. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I love that. What is she saying? I don't need a piece of bread. All I need is a little crumb, a little piece of your power for my daughter to be delivered from this evil spirit. Even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And what does he say? Woman, great is your faith. Your request has been granted, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Who heals all our diseases. Now, yes, we know there's different ways that happens, right? Sometimes it is a miracle. We've seen miracles happen in our years of ministry. Many times it's through the wisdom God has given to medical science today. Other times it's God choosing to take that person home to heaven. However he chooses, it is. So we pause and thank God as our healer. Let's do that. Father, you are Jehovah Rapha, Jesus, our healer, our great physician. The needs are many, Lord, across the planet. The needs are many here, even in our own community of healing, physical healing. The needs are great within this one local church, just a minute part of the body of Christ. And Lord, we always look to you as the healer, as the great physician. We've lifted up requests tonight. There are those seated in this sanctuary tonight who are in need of that healing touch. And Lord, we are your covenant children. Through Jesus, we are your covenant children. And so we praise you for your healing touch tonight in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Third one, who redeems your life from destruction. He redeems your life from destruction. Number one, what? He has redeemed you from hell, set you free from hell and the torment thereof. Do you know how sad is this? I was told just within the last month by someone in the region, I'll say that, about one of the mainline denominations that now is teaching that in the new covenant which we live, hell is now empty. Oh, that would be wonderful if it was true. I said, seriously, where does that come from? Well, Jesus delivers all. All who will call upon him shall be saved. It's not just an automatic thing. They're twisting. It's all Satan, how he works, twisting the truth. Just a deception of the enemy. No, but Jesus has redeemed us from hell. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Secondly, under this one, he redeems us from the pitfalls, the bondages of this life. Now, can you get that up there, Jamie? And I'll tell you when to play it. This, I was going to share a little bit of Josh Brewer's testimony. He was our speaker on the 14th of this month at that youth rally. And I went and re-listened to it because we recorded it. And I thought, you know, it's only about a four-minute spot. He'll tell it himself far better than I could retell it. So this was the speaker at Lifelight. And listen to what God has redeemed him from. Okay.
Michael Jordan. All right, when it comes to growing hair, Michael's got nothing on me. But I tried so hard to be like Michael Jordan.
He's got hair Michael Jordan doesn't. Right.
And you know what hit me? That I'm not him. I'm not Michael Jordan. But I get to be me. And you guys get to be you. And that's incredible. You should embrace that with all that's within you. You guys get to be you. And you know, I don't know what led you to this moment here that we get to share this moment tonight. But some of you guys have maybe heard my story. When I was 13 years old, my dad was a drug addict and an alcoholic, a drug dealer. And when I was 13 years old, I got so frustrated about life. I went into my dad's house, and if I can paint this picture for you, my dad's house is this broken, rundown old house that oftentimes, even in the middle of winter, didn't have any heat because my dad would rather spend money on drugs and alcohol than heat the home. And I went into my dad's house after my mom had left me. And I was so frustrated. My parents were already divorced. My mom had left. I went into my dad's house so frustrated about life. He was passed out drunk on this stained, ripped up old couch. Didn't even have any legs on this couch. I got so frustrated about life. I looked down at my dad and I said, "Dad, if you don't want to spend time with me, then I'm just going to leave." I thought by giving my dad this ultimatum, I thought that he would wake up and choose to spend time with me, choose to love on me. My dad looked up at me. I was 13 years old. He said, then pack your bags and go. So I went back to my bedroom. I grabbed this little case that I still have to this day. I put whatever clothes I could find in this case. I turned. I walked out the door. I became homeless at 13 years old. And here's what I want you guys to know here tonight, that when you don't know who to follow in this race called life, then you'll end up running into the same thing you're running from. And that happened in my life. Just 3 years after leaving my dad's house, I was 16 years old. I myself had gotten into drugs and alcohol. My friends and I, we started stealing cars in order to fund the bad habits for our life. And I was arrested one night with 30 counts of grand theft auto at 16 years old. And I'll never forget it. I'm in front of this judge, and this judge looks at me, and she said, "You're 16, but you're emancipated," which means legally I had no parents. And she said, "I'm going to make an example out of you. I'm going to send you to jail." And in that moment, I couldn't breathe. I was so frustrated and so scared of that life at the same time. I'm not just talking about any type of nerves. I'm talking about the type of feeling that literally twists and turns your stomach into knots and you can't breathe, you can't move. That fear that overcomes you, paralyzes you. And then in that moment, before that judge sentenced me that day, this pastor walked in the back door of the courtroom. And he walks up to the judge. I had just met this pastor the day before. He walks up to this judge. He says, "Judge, just let us have him. Let us take care of him. We'll take him in. Give him one more chance." I owe so much to that old pastor today. I end up still going to jail, but nowhere near as long as I would have without that pastor there that day. And about a year after I got out of jail, I asked this pastor, I said, "Pastor, what makes you so different than my friends and my family?" I literally, guys, I watched some of my friends and my family testify against me in a courtroom and turn and walk out the door. I know what it feels like to be completely alone or to feel like you're alone and no one hears you. And I asked this pastor that day, I said, what makes you so different? And guys, this pastor said something to me that I will never forget. He looks at me and he said, this love that I have for you, it doesn't come from me, but it comes through me and it comes from Jesus. And I understand that now more than ever, that Jesus, he truly does love you so much that he sends others to love on you also. That should blow our minds. And he's the only one, Jesus is the only one with that kind of power to love you enough, to not only love you so much, but he sends others to love on you also. And tonight, maybe that love comes in the form of a youth pastor that brought you here, or a friend that brought you here tonight. And I don't know where you're at in life, and all this may sound...
Okay, thanks, Jamie. Pretty incredible. I asked him, where did you grow up at afterwards? Because he didn't say. I thought some big city. Sioux Falls. It's a big city, I know, but I mean, I thought big city. Wow. And this, by the way, the youth rally is on our church website. It's not on YouTube. It's on the church website if you want to go and listen to it. The first while, there isn't sound because we had... The band had their sound system, but eventually it gets going, and there's some craziness, a game, you know, so that's all part of the night. He redeems our life from destruction. Look at what God did for Josh Brewer. Isn't that incredible? And how he's using him today. I think of the first catechism question, what's your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sin with his precious blood and set me free from the tyranny of the devil. And it goes on. Letter D, number four, benefit. I'll just touch on these last two briefly. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns you. Yes, crowns your life. Yes, but also that in the Greek that means, or Hebrew, excuse me, it means he encircles you with his protection. He encircles you for protection. And so he does. The end of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, right? That's protection. Psalm 57, how about that? Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. That is protection. How many times has God spared us from an accident, maybe when we were driving or going here or there or flying or working cattle or on and on it goes, and we weren't even aware of it. I was, before church, I went, zipped over to Scotland for Leonard Fry. His visitation was this evening in prayer service right now as we are having our service. And I read his obituary, for those of you that know Leonard, and here it said, he hauled over 2.5 million hogs, drove over 1 million miles accident-free. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And yet, that one morning, a couple weeks ago, driving to dialysis in the dark, early in the morning, someone, I don't know if I have all the details, rear-ended him or sideswiped him or something, caused him to go in the ditch and roll, which led to the broken neck, broken ribs, broken hip, surgery, and, you know, just couldn't come out of it. But what about, some might say, well, why did that happen? Well, why focus on, why did God allow that happen? Why not focus on, wow, praise the Lord, he drove over 1 million miles accident-free, right? That's incredible. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And the last one, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. so that your youth is renewed as the years of our lives go on. Boy, I like this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, therefore, don't lose heart, though outwardly, that's talking these physical bodies, though outwardly we might be wasting away, yet inwardly in our spirit being, we are being renewed day by day. And we are. And that's the most important part, to be renewed. This is where this in our spirit being, we can be more alive than we ever have been in our entire lives, and should be more alive in Christ every day as the years go on. So the benefits, if you're filling in your outline there, just to finish this up and review there, letter A, our sins are forgiven. Letter B, sin's power is subdued. That's the healing part. Letter C, sin's penalty is avoided. That's the destruction that we're redeemed from. And because of that, letter D, we are honored, crowned with loving kindness. And letter E, we are supplied, our mouth satisfied with good things, and we are renovated, renewed like the eagles. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your goodness in all of these areas and so much more. Lord, that we would take this list maybe tomorrow and just praise you for each one of these things as we pause in prayer over our Thanksgiving meal or whatever day that happens to be. For you are great and you are kind and you are merciful, and we thank you for your work in each of our lives. Help us to always have attitudes of gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The closing hymn is number 796. In thanksgiving, let us praise him. 796. Again, the melody's familiar. The might be a little bit new to you, but let's stand and sing this.
First bright light of morning to the last warm glow of dusk, every breath we take is sacred, for it is God's gift to us. In thanksgiving let us praise, in thanksgiving let us sing songs of praise and adoration to our gracious Lord and King. In the season of our plenty, in the season of our need, we will find His grace sufficient, we will find His love complete. In thanksgiving let us praise him, in thanksgiving let us sing songs of praise and adoration to our gracious Lord and King. Safe within his hand that guides us, hidden in his healing wings, by day His love provides us every good and perfect thing. In thanksgiving let us praise, in thanksgiving let us sing songs of praise and adoration to our gracious Lord.
Amen. Beautiful words, aren't they? Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you, and may He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. And we will sing tonight, Yet God Bless America. We sing this as a prayer for our nation every Sunday. We'll take a break of that through the season of Advent and pick it back up in January. So God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Amen. And God bless you all for coming tonight, and a happy Thanksgiving. You may be seated. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music. If you want to help with the tree, you're more than welcome. Yeah? Okay. Good.